Are you ready?
Oh yeah!
Do you smell what the Rock is cooking?
Welcome to another episode of Way Back Wrestling Mania. I'm your host, Adam, and with me is my co-host, Stephen. Stephen, how's it going?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. And this is episode 3. Last time we reviewed WrestleMania, and this time we have another event, pay-per-view event, to discuss and break down and talk about. And that is, it's a little bit behind us now, but we came into this wrestling podcasting game later than this event took place, so here we are. And the event we're going to talk about is All In, and that was a pay-per-view organized by Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks. It's kind of sort of AEW's first pay-per-view, even though AEW was formally announced after this. So it's that's why I say kind of sort of. Because AEW hadn't formally become a thing yet, but it's like the origins of AEW, if you will, this pay-per-view. So that's what we're going to talk about, and it's going to be interesting. But before we do that, we'll talk about the fact that the now fully formed AEW has announced that they do have a TV deal. We discussed this, I think, on the WrestleMania episode, Stephen, where the rumor was floating around that they were going to go to Warner Media and Turner for in terms of a home, and that's come to fruition as they've chosen TNT to be their home for weekly TV programming. There's no solid date on when it's going to start airing or what day of the week it's going to start airing, but it is confirmed that TNT is going to be the home of AEW Wrestling's weekly television show. What's your thought on that?
I think it's great news. I mean, just as a fan, because I was a huge WCW fan, and Nitro is probably my favorite wrestling show of all time. I just love seeing the TNT logo on a wrestling, what would you call it?
A wrestling property. Yeah.
Wrestling property. Yeah, I was trying to think of the word, then it won't come to me.
That's all right. That's why there's two of us. We can bounce off.
The logo they made with the fire, I think that was intentionally done to be a bit Nitro-like, and I love that.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know that they'll do that when the actual
show
comes to the show, but yeah. I think that was a nod to the fact that, hey, it's been 20, it's been about 20 years, if not more, than since wrestling has been on Turner. So
it's kind of ironic, isn't it, that the reason WCW left Turner was because Time Warner didn't want it on the network, and then it's like now they're bringing it back 20 years later.
So. Well, now they want the content because
it sells.
Look, despite, WWE's rating declines from where it was, that long ago. It's still a highly rated property, and the merchandise still sells. The WWE network does well. So, of course.
Yeah, I wonder how much can you really take off of ratings these days, because you can watch stuff on YouTube, you can watch stuff on streaming.
Yeah, it's all about streaming. So.
I'm sure Vince McMahon's probably still lining his pockets with lots of gold coins.
Sure. But you need that TV presence regardless.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And so I think that's why those factors is why Warner Media wanted to get back in the game. And look, they're not blind. They can see the excitement that AEW's reignited amongst the wrestling fandom.
Yeah.
So it makes sense for them to want to do that. And so I'm glad they have.
Yeah, and I don't think it's about competition. I think it's about having an alternative as well.
Right, right. And
people want an alternative.
And look, if AEW gets to a place where it ends up doing better than WWE in the ratings, great. And would I be surprised by that? After what I saw in All In and some of the talent that they have, it wouldn't surprise me at all. But the goal should be to offer an alternative. There were many factors in WCW's ultimate demise, but one of the reasons I think it was that they got so wrapped up in we got to beat McMahon and then WWF at the time that didn't help their cause, right?
Yeah.
So they're going in it, you know, from the wrong perspective. It's like WB and DC with versus Marvel, right? If your goal is to catch up to Marvel and to beat them on box office, then you're gonna
have, yeah.
And we've seen that in the early evolution of the DCE or whatever you want to call it. Whereas when the focus is just putting out a good product, success will find you.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I think as well, it's important to state with WCW that Eric Bischoff's plan was to just provide something different to the WWE at first, and then
yeah.
It sort of became more about the ratings as time went on. And I think we know that egos can run wild in wrestling, and I think a lot of those wrestlers that had those egos have kind of looked back now and think maybe they went a bit too far or whatever, or that was just who they were then, but maybe they're not that now.
Because WCW, if everything went well, should have still been the thing.
Yeah, well, I think if it won for the Time Warner merger, I don't think it ever would have this, because it was still getting good viewers. It just wasn't getting anywhere near the amount of viewers Raw was getting. So and I kind of think like AEW coming in now and bringing as an alternative, it's like it gives wrestlers an alternative. And if Vince McMahon does start to see it as competition, it might kick him into gear and decide to make, you know, it'll make him better as well. So I think it'll just raise the level.
And like I said, but the cool thing is. Yeah, I mean, what you're saying about Bischoff, maybe that was his goal going in. But the fact that, like I said, that AEW has been preaching from the get-go that look, we're not here to beat him or drive him out of business, is the fact that they know that's not even a realistic, you know, driving, you know, the idea of let's drive him out of business is not even a realistic thing to attain. Mm-hmm. Is the smart thing. And I think the only thing that you want to be careful of is that the core members of the team, you know, the Young Bucks and Cody and you know, even Chris Jericho. As long as the Eagles don't start running the asylum, so to speak, I think they'll be fine. And that's what I think the difference of having somebody like Tony Khan in there is. I think he'll stabilize everything. And I think the other thing that I'm excited about, and they reiterated this in the press announcement, is that they're still going to go on the sports-based kind of formula. So that's already an alternative. Because as an example,
about the wrestling.
Yeah, I watched an episode of SmackDown the other day, and if there was three matches in 2 hours, I think that was it.
That's why I really used to enjoy the NWA, because it was very much the focus was on wrestling. I mean, you do need your stories and
but it's like, and out of the two, what I'll say is now that I've watched for a couple of weeks, SmackDown is way too comedic. Like, it's way too much. Like, it's like the Legends of Tomorrow of the Arrowverse. Of wrestling, sorry. So, that's my... But, yeah. But it just is... I'm like, three matches, really, in 2 hours? Seriously? And none of them were very long, either. So, there's that.
Don't you think now as well, though, with this whole AEW thing, like... They've got the history of what happened, so they know that using hindsight...
Sure.
Competition is good for business.
Sure.
And or in this case, as we said, an alternative. It's probably, like you say, I just think it will raise the level up of professional wrestling. And it's not even just like these two companies, you know, independently wrestling's like bigger than ever. And over here in the UK, there's a lot of UK-based wrestling promotions, and they're doing really well.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's exciting times, really, if you're a wrestling fan.
The problem is, I think, that with the independents is they're hard to find. Right. Whereas, AEW now gives a platform and a visibility
Yeah, we have one over here called NGW, and they do a weekly show on YouTube, and it's actually quite good. There's some good wrestlers there, and I think some of those wrestlers will probably make it into... I think some of them have wrestlers on for the WWE UK as well, so...
Right, yeah. And I think, like you're saying, I even saw the other day, I was looking around for some wrestling stuff, and Booker T's got his own promotion. And they do a weekly show on YouTube, like you were saying, with the English over there. And so what it is he's acting as sort of like a feeder system to the bigger promotions.
And that's a good way to work, because then they'll benefit from him and he can benefit from them as well.
Yeah. So, you know, I know Impact has, you know, a TV show, and I'd love to see, I don't know where you can watch Ring of Honor. Like, I've never seen that televised. So
we used to have a wrestling channel over here for a couple of years, and it ran there, but we don't have that channel anymore. So,
I'd love to be able to watch Ring of Honor. So, but yeah, like I said, I think AEW will provide a visibility to some of these independent guys that are going to come over and sign, and or even cross promote as well.
Yeah, and I think they'll work with the independent companies. I don't think they'll steal talent. Yeah. I think they'll work with them, which will be beneficial to us as well as fans.
Yeah, which we'll talk about when we start discussing All In. But so now, in terms of over there where you are, AEW also has a deal in place, correct?
It's not right. The deal is to ITV. I've got, which is a terrestrial television channel over here, which shows television for free. They have a box office now where they show stuff like boxing. And I think they might show Ultimate Fighting on there and stuff like that. And they've got AEW's Double or Nothing. So I think what we could be in for here over in the UK, I think they may be testing the waters to see what the audience is like on a paid audience. And then I think they might take the show and either put it on ITV box office for an amount every week, or maybe put it on one of the... Because ITV have got four channels, so they could put it on the other ITV channel. So I'm hoping it's... I think I'm going to order it, actually, because I want to support it. So even though it's £15, which is quite a bit of chunk of change for me, but if it does well, I assume they will take on the TNT show, or maybe they can get a deal where they get like a highlight show, like when they used to do Live Wire back in the 90s on WWF, and they'd have,
you know,
like the highlights of what happened on Raw and stuff. So maybe we'll get something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So hopefully it'll happen and provide an alternative for us in the UK to watch as well.
Yeah, I'm very hopeful, and like I said, I don't know how it's gonna, because we don't get TNT here. I'm sure there'll be some sort of Canadian channel that picks it up. I'm just waiting to hear on that, but I'll find a way to watch it. And but I seriously hope that they do put it on the channel, because I want the Canadian, especially I gotta think that with Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho, there's gonna, you know, two prominent Canadian guys.
Mm.
There's going to be a Canadian chess sports channel that picks this thing up.
I forgot to say as well, they're doing it before, it's called Before the Bell, and it's like a pre-event show.
Yeah, pre-show.
I think it'll hold that over the budget battle royal or something.
Yeah.
They did one last time, didn't they? But I hadn't actually seen that one. But they're doing one again for this event, so I think it'll probably air that, which is obviously a taster for fans, and then they can go, oh, yeah, I'll go out at pay-per-view or whatever.
Yeah, right, exactly. I'm almost certainly that we're going to hear about a Canadian channel picking it up. I know over here, one of the sports channels, Sportsnet, has both Raw and SmackDown.
Did you used to get TNT back in there for WCW?
No, it used to air on Raw used to air on, back then we used to have the one main sports channel, so that was TSN.
Yeah.
And it used to air on there. But now we have more than one sports channel, so Sportsnet has Raw and SmackDown. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if you see AEW on TSN. That's just my that's just my theory. We shall see, but that's where I think it'll end up, and they'll have some competition between the two sports networks here. But the one last piece of news that dropped this morning thanks to Brandi Rose's Twitter account, who is the wife and chief brand officer of AEW. Sorry, she's the wife of Cody Rhodes. She's the leading lady of the company, if you will. But I guess that would be Tony Khan's significant. I don't know how it works, but she's the chief brand officer, and she's Cody Rhodes' wife. And apparently over there in Vegas, where they're holding Double or Nothing, the women of AEW have had a poolside photo shoot. So for anybody that's interested in that sort of thing, go to AEW's website, and you can find that those fascinating pictorials over there. And I highly recommend it.
Adam, do you get Fight TV?
We do.
Apparently, they're showing Double or Nothing globally.
Oh, good. Then I may have to. I may have to look into that.
I've just read that now on WrestleZone because I just thought I'd have a quick look to see if the wrote a good. Jump in with before we. And Chris Jericho said it is war with WWE. So.
well, Chris Jericho is the ultimate. The ultimate.
Yeah, I think he's been in character a bit there as well, because then he starts going on about how he's made AEW legit and all that sort of stuff. So.
I think it's a promo, and he's great at it.
Fantastic!
He just tweeted one at Kenny Omega about being in Hollywood and smoozing with the Warner executives, and he's there organized great stuff. Jericho's great.
Have you ever watched his really early stuff in WCW with Dean Malenko?
I did.
I think he's always been a fantastic character, Chris
Jericho. Oh, for sure. No matter what iteration it takes. But my most recent favorite that he gave me, because it works for my multiverse wives, is the list. So I'll be forever grateful for that one. But yeah, that's the news, and we'll continue to endeavor to bring you the news as we have it regarding wrestling. With that out of the way, why don't we get into the All-In pay-per-view, shall we?
Yeah.
All right.
Do you want me to say what the first match was?
Yeah, let's start with the first match.
So, I haven't written down all the little promo bits, but I've written a lot of comments. So, if I miss anything, you can just jump in and let me know. So, first match was Maxwell Jacob Friedman, a.k.a. MJF, versus Matt Cross.
Yeah.
Do you want me to just say what I thought of it first? Or?
Yeah, start us off.
Yeah, I thought it was a little too show pony earlier on, but I think once it got going, it got quite good.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I love seeing moves like the Shooting Star Press and that, and there were lots of moves like that in the first match, so I enjoyed it.
As did I. I think what I like, again, I have no idea who these two guys are, so for me, it's my first exposure to both of these individuals. But I loved the setup of the more veteran wrestler, which was not JD. What was the guy's name?
Matt Cross.
Yeah, Matt Cross was the more a veteran guy.
Yeah,
and I love that dichotomy of having, you know, two guys of different experience in the ring with each other, and I think. I love how they played it. Like, I know you were talking about how I got too showboaty at the beginning, but I think that played into the storyline of the younger guy versus the older guy and wanting to usurp. And he was doing a very, the guy with the initials, what's the exact thing? Because I'm going to screw it up another four times if I don't get it right.
MJF.
There it is. Yeah. I was going to throw a D in there. So MJF. MJF.
Was Hacksaw Jim Duggan on there?
Yeah, should have been. I like the fact that he had that kind of arrogance, like that. It's almost this sort of, Mr. Perfect, I'm better than you kind of arrogance about it. And so I really like that. But both of those guys, what I appreciated is, there was a good mix of holds and mat work, but also they could incorporate the high-flying stuff if necessary, like you said with the Shooting Star Press, right? So.
Yeah, that was the finisher, and I remember Billy Kidman used to use that as his finisher. I've always been a big fan of the Shooting Star Press. It's one of my favorite wrestling moves. So, yeah.
No, and it was it was a quicker. I think it was one of the quicker matches of the bunch. But
it was a good opener, wasn't it, to start on? And
yeah, just to get the flavor. And
yeah,
when I saw it, I'm like, oh my God, these guys can wrestle. Like, I have no idea. And the cool thing was, and I'm going to say this often tonight, but I had no idea who these guys were, but they quickly sold me on their storyline.
Yep.
And they quickly proved that we can put on a good match. And when you have that, you can sell me on just about anybody. So yeah, it was a solid start. It was a solid precursor. Yeah. What was to come, which what I thought was it only got better and better and better as it went on.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Maybe the show pony stuff was good to want the crowd thinking about it now.
Yeah. So what did you make of?
Do you want to do the star ratings?
Yeah. Let's do exactly.
Dave Meltzer gave 2.75 stars.
That out of his rating. Out of four?
I think it does five. No, it must be five stars. Looking at his ratings. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so we're gonna do five. We're gonna do five, right? Okay.
Yeah, that's what we did last time, didn't we? For
wrestling. Yeah.
I gave it 2.5 basically, 2.5 stars.
Yeah, I'll give it a. You know what? I'll give it a 2.5 as well.
Yeah, which is that's a decent rating, I think, for a match.
Yeah, it's pretty solid. Yeah.
So we are expecting to see Sean Mooney. I haven't seen him for years. Did you see him interview Nick Aldis?
Yeah, I didn't expect that. Yeah, that was a shock. That was a surprise.
I was really shocked. I was like, what the hell?
I mean, that was a way back. And I love the way they did that. Like, they
yeah.
You know, there was fan service and callbacks. And I thought they peppered it in just the right amount.
They did it a lot, didn't they? In fact, in the next match, there was a special guest referee, wasn't there? So, the past. Yeah.
Yes.
So which was cool. Christopher Daniels versus Arrow himself, Stephen Amell.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jerry Lynn was the referee.
Yes. I really liked this match. I
did as well. I'll go on and I'll tell you why I liked it afterwards.
Because to me, whenever they, like, here's my issue. Whenever they get a celebrity to come in, that was the beginning of the end for WCW. Like when they brought, who was it, the guy?
David Arquette.
Yeah, I mean, he's ridiculous. The guy can't, right? It was a joke.
Well, do you know apparently himself, when they wanted to put the championship on him, he said, don't do it. Himself.
Yeah.
He actually does wrestle regularly now, doesn't he?
I know, but he was the time, he was terrible. Yeah, I thought, I couldn't look at him back then and take him seriously. And they put the championship on him. Anyway, which
it was a stunt, wasn't it? I think they thought they'd get some good press off of it. Yeah,
which kind of is like, okay, well, that really devalues your championship, but whatever.
Mm.
But so I never took that seriously. And whenever you see, that's one of the things I always worry about when a celebrity comes in.
Yeah,
but you know, gotta give credit where credit can do this. Stephen Amell can hold his own in the wrestling ring.
I think he puts the work in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can
did, you know, did you know he was a member of the Bullet Club, by the way? Because I didn't know that.
I had no idea.
No, I didn't either.
I mean, I know he had a relationship with Cody because of...
Yeah.
Of, you know, they wrestled at... what was it? SummerSlam, I think he did? One of the SummerSlam?
Yeah, when he was Stardust.
Yeah, Stardust. Yeah.
I think it was a tag match, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a tag match. This was his first singles match. So, yeah. You know, they had the relationship. And then Cody Rhodes has been on Arrow a couple times.
Yeah, so, I liked it as well, actually.
So they've had this you know friendship and relationship. So, but yeah. So just seeing him, like, he can pull off some moves. And the crazy thing was when he does the high flying stuff. That's like he drop kicked from one side of the ring to the other.
Yeah, that was mad.
That was insane. And then, but then he went off like to the outside, and he basically a flying elbow off the table. Now,
yeah,
he missed. You know, the other guy moved. But still, to pull off that bump, I mean, the producers of Arrow must be shitting their pants.
But we got them great chants, didn't we? Broken Arrow chants. They were going, Broken Arrow, and it was all
flat. Yeah. But look, you know, I'm going to say something here that's a little bit ridiculous, but it's true. Arrow's ending, right?
Yeah.
Usually these actors that end up on a CW show have trouble, you know, finding anything of substance, you know, post their superhero CW career. I mean, just ask Tom Welling.
He won't put the trunks on there and wrestle.
He's getting a bit hefty as well. So I don't know who wants to see him in trunks. Maybe Smallville fans who are still holding on.
I can think of one in particular, probably. Like.
Boy, yeah. So can I. Planet Forever. Anyway. But yeah, so those two moves were insane. And like I said, the producers of Arrow must have been crapping their pants. So, but I think after Arrow's done, listen, Stephen Amell, if he wanted to, could transition to Professor Wrestling. And I don't think anybody would bat an eyelash.
He's already in the shape for it. I think the crowds. I watched him in the WWE when I wrestled there. The crowds really respect the work he's put in. I think they'll probably get behind him.
Yeah, I mean, even if he doesn't do it full time, even if it's more of a, you know,
he comes in for like a couple of months now and then and does a bit.
Let's say for the pay per views, right?
Yeah.
Or if he does an angle with Kenny Omega and let's say Jericho, where you know, hey. They're all three are from Canada, but Toronto is better than Winnipeg, or which is true. But that should be the angle that they work or whatever. Yeah, I could just see him having a thing.
I'll tell you what would be good, right? You could have Jericho versus Omega, and ML's the referee, and ML turns heel.
I think
that would work really well. I think he'd actually get over better if he went heel.
Yeah, that would be good. That's a, especially post-Arrow, I think that would be really good.
Listen, Cody, if you want some tips, we'll book it.
Yeah, who are we going to talk to? We're going to talk to you, Tony Khan, Brandy. Who's the go-to here? Let's get your ideas.
We'll talk to Brandy first anyway.
Yeah. And then if she wants to pass it along to you, so be it.
But if not, we win anyway.
Exactly. It's a win-win. But no. I mean, the match was good, and you got to respect. I mean, and you can tell that the what I think is the signal of Stephen Amell's work rate and you know what his professionalism is the respect that I mean, obviously for the angle, the guy shows him the respect. But
yeah.
In ring, you can tell that he's respected by his opponent, which is.
Well, Christopher Daniels is probably one of the best in ring workers like of all time as well. Like
yeah.
He's a hell of a wrestler.
And you put him in there with somebody like Christopher Daniels and somebody of that caliber, it's only going to make Stephen Amell look better.
Yeah, exactly. And he's only going to learn from him as well, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. So I really enjoyed this match. So tell me why you liked it. You were going to say...
I already brought it up, the Broken Arrow chance. I just thought they were brilliant.
Yeah.
I just thought it was absolutely genius. And the whole table... I liked as well when Jerry Lynn threw him back in the ring and then Jerry Lynn took his top off because he was getting a bit... And then it made me think, is he going to wrestle a little bit? I wonder if he's going to be one of those, you know, like the King who comes out of retirement for a little bit every now and then.
Yeah,
matches. Jerry Lynn was an awesome wrestler.
Yeah, I'd like to see him come out and do something.
I almost wonder if there's going to be something with Christopher Daniels, don't you, in a,
yeah,
in a follow-up.
I wouldn't be surprised if he... appears or cross promotes with AEW more. I mean, there's been no.
He's not hired by the WWE, is he? So it won't be exclusive 21. So I don't see why they couldn't get him if they needed to get him for a bit.
Yeah. So I think we're in good shape in terms of hopefully seeing something develop again with him.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed that match. So I guess, do you want to rate it?
Meltzer gave it 2.75 and I went on the 2.5 again. I thought it was another solid match that I enjoyed.
You know what? My DC bias is going to kick in here. I'll give it a 3.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. We're kind of both close to Meltzer. You're a bit higher, but yeah. I think 2.5, 2.7. Maybe I'll go up to 2.75, actually. Because I enjoyed this more than the opener, even though I enjoyed the opener as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a better match than the opener, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Should we move on to the next match, then?
Which was
the wonderful women's match. I really enjoyed this.
Yes, as did I. My list grew, folks.
Yeah. So we had Tessa Blanchard, who's Tully Blanchard's daughter, I believe. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Came out of it, didn't he, as well?
Yeah.
Versus Chelsea Green, who I thought amazing character, versus Madison Rayne and versus Britt Baker.
Okay, so a couple of things. Chelsea Green was the Two-Face character, right?
Yeah, and for me, the standout character. That's what I've written in my notes.
Oh, for sure. Like, she...
Yeah.
Look, anybody... And look, you can say whatever you want. She was riffing on Two-Face. And so...
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Anybody that can that does that has my respect. And listen, she played... I'll say it right now. She played a better Two-Face than Tommy Lee Jones. I'll just throw that in there right now. But you know the fact that just the way she toggled between characters was impressive.
I thought her character was really good.
Yeah, and her in ring work was incredible too.
Yeah, I thought all four women were
all four of the women are fantastic. Right? Yeah. Like, doesn't it say something that two of my favorite wrestling matches in the span of that I've talked about in the span of a couple of months. Are women matches, or female matches. Because remember, with our main review, I gave the tag team match a good rating, and I gave the women's title match, the main event, you know, the a good rating, and so now, and I'm gonna continue it again with this. I mean, this was a fantastic match. All four were phenomenal. I thought.
There were so many
Blanchard was
as well.
Blanchard was the best, probably the in terms of wrestling, pure wrestling skill. I think she has a little bit of an edge, but again, that's because of her her lineage. I think helps a lot with that.
And I think giving her the win was the right decision.
Oh, you had to, to. And I
think definitely.
I know she's from Ring of Honor. I think right. That's what they.
Yeah, I believe this. Yeah, Ring of Honor. They said Ring of Honor, didn't they? Yeah, I thought maybe they said Impact at first, but maybe it was Ring of Honor.
It was one of them. She's, and that's the funny. Either way,
she's in one of them. She might be in both.
I think she may have talked. I think did they say it might have been Impact. It might have been Impact actually.
I think, but it was Impact actually.
Okay, yeah, but either way, like the impressive thing for me was that, you know, you got to think, Cody. The Young Bucks, and you know, they're the ones putting this on. I'm pretty sure they had knowledge of something cooking with Tony Khan in terms of AEW. I'm pretty sure that was,
yeah,
at least at the very minimum in the conversation stage, but still with that on the horizon to put over somebody else that they that to my knowledge they currently don't have under contract. Because of her lineage and because of, you know, whatnot, I think shows you the respect that everybody involved with AEW has for professional wrestling and its history. Yeah. So I really appreciated that. I thought the whole Dr. Britt Baker was a thing, was like a work. But this woman is actually a dentist.
Are you joking?
Yeah. From everything
From
everything I've read, she's an actual dentist. Now,
I guess what do they say about the best characters are extensions of the cells?
All I'm going to say is, like, I don't like the dentist. Like, that's the worst experiences I've ever had. Every 6 months or whatever it is that I got to go. Like, it's the most dreadful thing it's up there, right?
It's not the best.
There's dentistry and watching Batman and Robin. Those are the two most just terrible. But listen, if she is in fact a real dentist, and if I had her, man, I'd be like, okay, once a week, I gotta go back to the dentist. No reason.
Okay, I have a question for you, Adam.
Yeah.
Each one of these women, would they have a place on one of your multiple Earths?
Oh, for sure. Without question.
I mean, imagine the Earth Chelsea Green's from is pretty mad.
Probably, but you know, listen, hey, her Two-Face homage got her on the list, so don't be too angry. You know, Margot Robbie is number one on the list, provided that she dresses up in Harley Quinn. No, I'm kidding, but that'd be a bonus. They're all four on the list. They're all fantastic. Look, why is they're phenomenal? Again, go to AEW.com for that photo shoot. But the thing that's most impressive to me, outside of, you know, going into my whole Jerry the King Lawler routine, is they're in rare. Yeah. Oh,
I know. Sorry.
Once I get the editing stuff fixed, the coronation of winter, I'm going to throw the puppy's audio in there for one of these podcasts. But no, their in-ring work is fantastic. Like you were saying, the false finishes.
Only bad thing for me, you know, the actual finish,
yeah.
I thought they kind of messed it up slightly because I didn't know it was when the girl, I can't remember which character jumped on Tessa. Was it Madison? I can't remember who it was anyway.
Yeah, I think
it is. She kind of reacted to it, did Tessa, but then the referee rang the bell and it was all like, oh, it's finished. It were a bit of a...
Yeah, I thought she broke up the count. You're right.
Yeah,
right?
And I almost wondered the timing was slightly off there, maybe. Maybe she was supposed to get her after the count and
then they were a bit on the count.
Yeah, possibly
they got there.
That's like a minor quibble, though. Not...
But even still, like you said, like that... I mean, even these girls were like springboard, like... out from the top rope onto the floor, like you just.
Why I can't fathom is why have WWE not got any of these wrestlers on the books?
Well, they have I gotta give them credit. A couple of the women do the high flying stuff. Like,
No, sorry, I'm not saying anything bad about the WWE women. I'm just saying, you know, the WWE women's roster is growing. You need more opponents for.
Adding more of them. Yeah, you'd think.
Yeah, and yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they have reached out to them and they don't like, because I know WWE is like a bit of a heavy schedule and stuff. You know, maybe some of them have been there before and left. I don't know, but
Dennis couldn't handle that that schedule because how can you be a dentist and wrestle if you're on the road
320
days a year. So.
She must love doing oral exams or something.
Well, I didn't say it. Send all your email to Stephen.
You're getting revenge finally for all those Snyder ones.
That's right. Yeah.
So, what did do you want me to say Meltzer's rating and then?
Before we do that.
Oh, sorry.
Do you have a favorite spot that they did?
Gosh. I can't really.
There was one with all of them off the top rope, wasn't it? Like a power bomb or something of that nature.
Yeah, that rings a bell.
That one, the off the top rope.
I'm really bad at. I normally write stuff down.
I think it was a suplex of some sort. I think.
Wasn't there a German suplex?
Yes, that was it.
And I love German suplexes. So.
And there was, I think, it was all four of them involved, which is insane.
Yeah.
So that was my spot. That was my spot.
Sorry, I'm letting you down. Not remembering very well, but
yeah, you're the stats guy. I mean, get on that. But that was a great spot. But again, the whole match, the close counts, everything. I just loved it. It's one of the highlights on the card for sure. So yeah, give us Meltzer's.
Meltzer gave it 3.25, and I went higher up than him. I give it a 3.5.
Yeah, without question, the 3.5, easily. Yeah.
Really good. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know, you might not agree with this, but I mean, I wasn't too hot on WrestleMania. And I did enjoy the women's match, but I actually thought this was better.
Then the
main event at WrestleMania, which that was really good. But I thought this was...
Here's what I'll say.
Maybe because there were more going on, because there were four wrestlers in this, and maybe I was a bit more...
So what I'll say, wasn't it a six-man tag in the WrestleMania, one of them? Right? Or a six-woman tag, if you want to be...
Yeah, I didn't really enjoy that one, though. But I enjoyed the main event.
I enjoyed that one, but it was too... I think... Because...
I think it would have been better being a traditional tag team match because of how many of those kind of matches there were on the card. Right.
So I enjoyed it, but what I will agree with you on is I think this match had better... in-ring performance than the main event of WrestleMania.
And that's what I was kind of trying to get at, yeah. Without really
so maybe I should give this one. Maybe I should give this one a four. I should up it to four because I gave that.
I'm gonna go up to 3.75.
I'll go to a four.
Okay. Yeah.
It was a highlight of the card for me anyway. So
we're getting a bit of reputation here, Mania. Where you're like You're a bit
I'm the positive guy. Listen, we just got a Batman
I'm turning into a negative Nancy.
We just got a Batman casting announcement. I'm good. Adam's happy.
So, shall we move on to the next thing?
Yeah, let's go to the next match.
Yeah. So we actually got I want to talk about the highlights package we got for this next match, because I absolutely love the NWA Championship. And for me personally, this was the match I was most looking forward to. I don't know if it was the one you were looking forward to most, but...
It was definitely, for sure, because Cody's the one I...
Yeah, and I like Nick Aldis as well, you know. Yeah. I actually remember he used to be on Gladiators over here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was a Gladiator. He was kind of the one that... Did you used to get Gladiators over there, didn't you?
We did, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we used to have a guy called Wolf over here anyway, like a bit of a moody one, bit of a character.
Yeah, I think they're the same characters, just obviously different guys.
Yeah, and he was like Wolf. He wasn't like Wolf like in design, but he used to moan, you know, at the referees and stuff and play up to cameras. And I kept thinking he'd be a good wrestler. And then he went to Impact, didn't he, it became Brutus Magnus.
Yes.
And I didn't see him for a long time. And then when I saw him as the NWA champion, and I thought, oh, this guy's really matured and he's, you know, and he's got bigger as well. And I think he actually looks like a champion now, I would say.
Yeah.
And I loved that we got like the highlights package and we saw like the old footage of, you know, Harley Race and woo, Ric Flair.
Yeah.
I had to get my woman out of him as well. You know, they really made this match feel special. And for me, I really think this should have been the main event. But because one of my minor quibbles about this show is some of the placement, the matches. I almost wondered if they should have had this match towards the end.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. This, because of the stature, and look,
I have a theory why they did it earlier.
Here's my theory is that I don't think Cody wanted to. He was part of the, you know, the core group putting the show on. Mm. I don't think he wanted to put himself in the main event.
That makes sense.
If it was Triple H, he would have been in the main event.
I was more going for definitely. I was more going for the crowd. Did they want to do it while the crowd was still like hot? Because I know when you can get towards the end of a pay per view, the crowd can get a bit flat. And do you remember WrestleMania 18 when Hogan and The Rock fought, and then afterwards it was Triple H and like everyone were just tired because they'd been so excited about the Hogan match.
Right.
And I almost wonder if there was a little bit of that here where they thought, well, if we put it on earlier, because there was the Kenny Omega match later, which that's another main event caliber match.
Yeah.
I almost wonder if they thought, we'll get it, like, we'll put it, I think it must have been about an hour in. Maybe they thought, we'll get it an hour in. You know, almost like, did you watch Saturday Night, you know, Saturday Night's main event?
Yes.
They used to do the main event first, didn't they? Or like earlier in the card, and then it would peter off towards the end. And I almost wonder if there was a little bit of that in the in the thinking process.
Yeah.
So that was probably theory.
Theory is the real word.
Yeah. So the wrestlers came out, didn't they, with some old school wrestlers like Tommy Dreamer, Diamond Dallas Page, Glacier. Jeff Jarrett came out with Nick Aldis, which was quite cool to see.
I really liked the fact that
they made it feel special, didn't you think? Well, like.
With those guys coming out, it did feel special. But also,
did it remind you of boxing a bit as well?
It did. They gave it a legitimacy, like this is a real fight.
Yeah. Earl Hebner was the referee as well, which I thought gave it another like air of legitimacy, and it was like because he's like known as like the greatest referee of all time and stuff.
Yeah. When I saw Earl Hebner, I didn't start crying, but the little, you know, the younger wrestling fan in me almost.
Yeah, he was the one referee you always knew, wasn't he? Which was probably because of the whole.
Yeah, but he had a twin referee. I remember that so vivid.
Excited. You know, Bruce Pritchard thinks he's the greatest wrestling angle of all time, as he always says.
It's one of them.
He's definitely up there. Yeah. And he's actually, I think he's signed up to AEW permanently, hasn't he? Because it's been advertised. It said the AEW Instagram had Earl Hebner is.
Earl Hebner is Elite or.
Someone like Elite. I think it was Elite. Yeah, something
he's
like
all Elite. Yeah, so he's.
Yeah,
he's,
yeah.
He signed with AEW, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, and so I forgot to say, so is Jerry Lane as well. He signed on, so but they didn't say what his role is going to be, so that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, so, yeah, this was the one I was most looking forward to, and it didn't disappoint. I thought it had, like, an old-school... Basically, this is kind of match Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes would have had back in the day, and, you know, it had that old-school vibe to it, and, you know, it started off a bit slow with the holds, and then it built up and built up and built up, and I like the way Cody was built. It was like the odds were against him.
Yeah.
I just thought the whole thing worked really well, and we obviously got a diamond cutter during it, which is pretty cool.
Like you said, I think, that was cool. I think the cool thing was, like, the slow build within the match. You start off with holds, and, like, the moves...
He told the story, didn't he?
Yeah. The moves got bigger and bolder as they went around. So, to me, that was a very good storytelling, like you said. It doesn't... And it proves my point is... Yes, storyline is important, but a storyline can be told in the ring. It doesn't have to be told on the mic, right?
Great wrestlers tell great stories.
Yes, in the ring. And that's the art that's lost in a lot of WWE's booking is that they rely too much on the spoken word from guys that are reading off a teleprompter. It seems like
I feel like WWE's become a bit more like a television show.
Yeah,
where this felt like an old school National Wrestling Alliance.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And like the part where, you know, look, I'm not a dog person, but he brought out his dog, for God's sake.
That's
how a person. Like,
that's when you know that. That's when you know it's on.
Yeah, like, look, if I'm getting emotional of him bringing out a dog and I'm not a dog person, what the hell does that tell you about how good the storyline build-up is, right? So,
yeah.
And don't start hating on me because I'm like, look, I don't hate dogs. I had one when I was a kid. I don't have one now. It's fascination. It's it is. Don't give me this anti. You know, our fans are freaking out because Jon Snow didn't pet his wolf. Get over it. But I really liked it. Like I said, and like there was the part where, you know, Cody's busted open, and again, you don't see that anymore.
And I think that's... And you know what was good about this as well? We only saw it in one match, didn't overdo it.
Right, yeah.
Which is sort of... I'll bring something else up similar later about that.
But it reminds me of, like you said, you know, his father used to have the, you know... I mean, that guy was bleeding once every match at least. And same with Ric Flair. I mean, and it just... I don't know. It added to the... Between those guys coming out, you know, the legacy wrestlers coming out, and the build-up of the way the match was structured starts slow, then build. It added to the legitimacy of what I was wanting. Like, to me, it wasn't a... It felt like it wasn't a staged outcome, even though I know
it
was a preordained outcome. So...
Don't you think as well, when the blood came, it was like that's when the match really kicked into gear? And
and then
the odds were just so against Cody, and he had to overcome him.
And you had DDP checking him out, and you know the commentators are building, oh my god, he's like a surrogate father to him, and the whole nine yards. And then, you know, Brandy gets in the way and he's trying to cut.
That was such a good moment, wasn't it?
And then the jackass elbows her, and I'm like, don't you do that.
Way they played it was, he expected it to move, and he was really sorry.
He was sorry about it, but I'm like, don't you dare do that to him. It doesn't have a number yet, but it's on the way there when the list is formalized. The whole thing just, it felt like a combination of a real boxing match and a Rocky movie.
Yeah.
And these two guys are excellent workers. And his opponent, it was Nick...
Nick Aldis, yeah.
Yeah, oh, there it is. He reminds me of like an old school, you know, with the attitude and the ruggedness, William Regal.
Yeah, I get what you mean, yeah, about that, yeah. Probably a bit more of, what's the word I'm going to go? I don't want to slag off William Regal because I love William Regal, but A bit more, what's the word I'm looking for? I want to say cool, but not cool, if that makes sense. A bit more up to date, maybe. Does that make sense?
Yeah, modern day William Regal, but
yeah,
but,
like a modern day. But, like, but
when,
his,
I, when I said old school, yeah. William Regal, what I meant is him, like him himself, whereas now his character in later years became a, you know, became a joke. Mm,
yeah,
you know what I mean. So that's what I—that's what I meant by the old school thing.
All right. Okay. Sorry.
So, but just to clarify, but yeah, I love the match. It was.
Yeah. I mean, and I love the finish with the sunset flip because it's such an old school classic finisher in a match like this, you know. And I remember the British Bulldog beat Bret Hart with it, didn't he?
Yes.
SummerSlam '92.
SummerSlam.
And then that's one of the greatest matches of all time as well. And you think like. To bring I just feel like when I watched WrestleMania, I didn't get a moment like that at all where there was that. Because it's almost like you don't beat him when you finish in a match like this, you beat him with something extra. Does that make sense? And the sunset flip is one of those finishes where you can legitimately believe it, they'll beat him with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though it's not a finisher.
Yeah.
Like no, if somebody who coming out doing it every week, you'd be like, oh God, wouldn't you?
No, but the fact that it's not overused, I think, is
crazy. Yeah, and you know, and it says a lot that the NWA, because you know, do you know how the NWA works, where they have like a committee who pick the champion.
Yeah,
you know that committee agreed to Cody getting the belt, and I think that shows a lot about what they knew that this would mean to that belt, and you know, because obviously Nick Aldis won it back like a month or two later. So
yeah, but they kind of had to because
yeah, of course, but the fact that they let Cody win on this show. Showed that they really respected him and, you know, maybe the legacy of his father and things like that.
Yeah, and like I said.
And I was going to say, Adam, I think me and you should probably watch the rematch at some point.
Yeah, for
sure. And maybe
sure.
talk about that because, I mean, if this match was this good, I can imagine that's a 2 out of 3 falls, that one, so that might be even better.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. We definitely will do that.
Yeah.
But I think, like you said, I think they understand the legacy of the Rhodes name, but also... I think you can't just go on legacy. I mean, you got to understand that Cody is in his own right. Forget about his last name. Is a very talented in-ring worker. Like the guy can throw a drop kick like nobody else.
Yeah.
As an example, so it's not just a name alone. Like look what he's doing. Like he's taking wrestling to new heights. Like I was look before I started hearing about AEW. And you asked me to do a wrestling podcast, I would have said, yeah, I don't know. But it reinvigorated my love for wrestling. And then I went back and started. So I think they recognize that too. And so, like I said,
yeah.
What I loved about All In was that it featured cross promotion. And I hope AEW continues that. Between
yeah, me too, yeah.
So, yeah. But how do you want to rate this match? What did Meltzer...
Meltzer gave it 4, which is a very good rating. I'm going to go a bit higher and give it 4.5.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's easily 4.5.
Because the story was just... you know when Cody got emotional at the end? I almost got emotional. It was like...
Well, you buy
see
it.
What it meant,
yeah,
see what it meant to him.
From when you there... when you and you, I think his emotions were like legitimate. Like I think he was legitimately... Because of the prestigiousness of that title... And that organization and what it's been to his family. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And you know, I hope Nick Aldis comes back on AEW occasionally and defends that belt because it's such a prestigious title. I mean, I don't know if they're going to make their own belts or if they're just going to keep bringing in champions.
I think it'll be a mix of both, probably.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I don't know if you've seen. Looked much on the NWA, but they seem to be making a bit of a comeback.
I see that they're having a resurgence, which is a good thing.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
But like just to close on this match, that prestige of that title is one of the things that WWE is lacking because aside from the Intercontinental title, the rest of the titles are treated so flippantly. You know, the Universal, WWE. Who's champion of what here? Like you know, like...
You need to have one champion, don't you, really?
Yeah, it's...
And one company.
One champion, look, I don't give a rat's ass about Brian, you know, SmackDown brand, Raw brand. Look, the champion needs to go on both brands. Done. Simple. There's one. Call it the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Give it some. Make it the one that is currently being held by Kofi, because that's the one that's supposed to be the same one that was won by, you know, Hogan, Savage, and the like. So make it that one. Call it the WWE World Heavyweight Championship title, and let's get rid of that universal garbage. Universal, what was he? Going to space? Is he having wrestling matches in space? That's, to me, that's a good question. Oh, is it part of Trump's Space Force? Like, what is this? Give me a break.
It is bad. Yeah, see, I almost look as well at the title belts in WWE, and I kind of think that they all look a bit samey, and it's like, the Intercontinental is the only one that kind of looks unique.
Yeah. Well, look, the only two that anybody gives a crap about are the Intercontinental Championship, because of the prestige, and it's the same belt, and it's the best looking belt.
Yeah, easily.
And the woman said it because Becky Lynch is a double champion, and she's doing it. And look, even though I prefer Alexa Bliss, and I hope she wins the Money in the Bank, and, you know, goddess of WWE number something on my list, the whole nine yards. They're doing Becky Lynch's storyline twice, that she's got the championship of both, she's got the two belts, and she's gonna defend them both, and that's a smart way to, and she appears on both shows. That's the way to do it.
So that'll be good for you, man.
What's that?
If she does win Money in the Bank, she'll be on, and she's on both shows.
No, but I'm talking about how Becky Lynch has both belts.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying because you like Alexa Bliss.
Oh, sign me up for that. Then I'm good. But no, but what I'm saying is they're doing Becky Lynch's storyline right. And it legitimizes the women's titles, but also the division.
Yeah.
So, but my point is this match between the commentators, the vignettes, the in-ring work of, like, it shows you and emphasizes the prestige of the NWA championship title.
Definitely, 100%. You know, this is a lot that we haven't watched any weekly shows building up to this.
Yeah,
we've got that invested in that.
Yeah, match. Like I cared so much about this match, and I'd never seen these two interact before.
And again, there was so many of those finishes where you thought it was over and it wasn't.
Yeah, oh, I love that. But,
which they did quite a bit throughout the night, which I love stuff like that.
There is a moment when you can over... Like, if the match is not good and you're overdoing it, then it becomes redundant. But when the match is that good, it's like, damn, I don't want this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want
definitely, this.
Definitely,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was on the edge of my seat for it, to be honest.
Oh, me too. Like, I haven't been this excited about a match probably since Rock Hogan. I'm not going
to
lie.
Do you know what? I completely agree with you. I was so excited to watch this match.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. So after this, we got like a bit of a weird vignette with which set up the next match where Hangman Page killed a man, Joey Ryan, apparently. I was watching it and then the boots start talking. I was like, this feels so weird. It was such an odd vignette. But at the same time, while I thought it was weird and it made me laugh. And I actually laughed my head off watching it, so I was almost like, "Well,
it was entertaining me." It was like a bad joke, like
yeah.
You know what you're wrong? It reminded me of a look. I'm not going to defend the storyline because, I mean, it was funny, but in a battle, it's like. Remember when the Undertaker had the ministry and he was crucifying people?
Yeah, and it kind of went a bit bizarre, but
that was a well-told story. And then they remember when Triple H was like having sex in a coffin?
Yeah.
And when Big Boss Man interrupted Big Show's father's funeral. So, like, the murder plot could have been good. I mean, first of all, you inherently can't take it seriously because, really, he murdered a guy?
Straight away, but he made me laugh, so like, I find it really funny.
And he admitted it, really, and he's still being allowed to engage in a murder. Police have a that's like Batman and Robin logic. Alfred is somehow Commissioner. Alfred is somehow Batgirl's niece and all that.
Alfred's Batgirl's niece.
Whatever the hell.
That'd be a better film.
Batgirl's Alfred. I don't know. Nobody understood that movie. Anyway, but it's like that kind of unbelievable ridiculousness, you know. And it's all. But,
do you want me to say what the match is, actually? Because I haven't said what the match is yet.
Yeah, okay.
That's so it was a It was a Chicago street fight, and it was Joey Janela with Penelope Ford versus Hangman Page, right? And despite the hilarious, the stupid, ridiculous death thing, the match was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
It was an absolute fantastic match. It was some amazing high-risk manoeuvres. And for me, the best moment of the match was when Penelope Ford got involved.
Yeah.
And then she pulled the boot out of the bag. And I was like, oh, my God. But for such a stupid storyline, what a match. I could not get over how good it was.
Like, here's the thing. And I correct me if I'm wrong, but you're not one who likes that ECW-style kind of street fight stuff, do you?
Right. I'll tell you what, right. I like it in moderation, but ECW, like, every match was like it. And you just watch ECW.
Yeah, that was the whole point, yeah. But, so, no, but I'm surprised. Like, I'm shocked that these guys haven't killed each other. Like, because of the moves, they try and pull off.
Yeah, there was one, and I thought, you can't drop a guy like that on his neck, and it'd be like, and they were all right, though. But I was like, oh my God.
And it looked like it was well choreographed, obviously. Because I think if he actually hit his neck like that, I think he would have been dead. But
yeah,
it was well timed to look like he hit his neck. But even the stuff on the ladder, like,
well, he hit the rite of passage, didn't he, off the ladder, did Paige?
Yeah.
And what I was like, when he was doing it, I was that invested. I was going, no, no, you're not going to do it. No. And he did. And I was just like, I couldn't believe it.
It was shot. I'm like, he's not going to do that on a ladder, is he? And he did. And I'm like, you know how the WWE fans start chanting, holy shit, when something...
Yeah, yeah,
I would say that, and I'm sitting in...
They chatted it a bit in this didn't it, as well?
WWE fans do it overboard. But
yeah. And you get that, I don't like that, this is awesome. I get that one a lot, but it's a bit cheesy, I think.
but that move on the ladder, it was just insanity. And you're right, when the woman got involved, I was like, oh, what was her name?
Penelope Ford.
Yeah, that's it. First of all, I was like, oh, hello.
And she could go, couldn't she, as well?
She can wrestle. I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, at first I thought, okay, here, now they're doing, this is the first instance of the old school attitude era, the sex bomb manager. I said, okay, here's their one, I don't know if she could wrestle because you hadn't seen anything, but she came out the way she looked. I'm like, okay, this is the sex bomb type bombshell character, right?
Yeah.
But she fills that role really nicely. Also, in addition to those four girls on the list, she's now still, this list is expanding.
You'll have to have a separate universe just for wrestling.
I think Santa Claus is jealous of the length of my list. You think that Naughty and Nice list is impressive? Wait till you see my list. It's like delivering gifts to all those houses. When she can actually pull off some moves, like she can actually in ring, like I'd like to see her in a match.
Yeah, I actually think maybe, I wonder if she does wrestle, but maybe on this she just was brought in.
She must, but I'd like to watch her in a match. Like, get her in.
Yeah, there. I would as well, yeah.
I mean, as the guy she was with, Janela there, I don't think he's with AEW, but they got to get him in there.
Oh, yeah, because he was good as well. I mean, when I saw him, I thought, really? And then he was actually really good.
Yeah, I looked at him like, this guy.
He just didn't look like he'd be that good, did he? Do you know what I mean? That's not.
No. Yeah.
That's me judging a book by its cover, which I shouldn't do.
Which you shouldn't do, but I did the same thing, so shame on you.
Shame on his boss.
Yeah, she came in and she looks like she can hold a match, and I'm like, okay, let me see more of her in ring. Mm-hmm. Like,
this will probably be a good taster, won't it, for if she does end up doing it. So.
Yeah. No, it was a great match, like I said. I'm kind of iffy. It has to, the rough stuff has to be within moderation. But I enjoyed the match.
Yeah.
Now there's something that derails the match for me.
Do you want to talk about? Should we rate it first, then talk about that because it's after the match.
Yeah, but it kind of informs my.
All right. Yeah. Go on.
So,
because this didn't take anything away from the match for me personally, but it was just like, what? It made me laugh though again. I was laughing.
Okay, let's read the match on the run.
All right then. Right, Meltzer gave it 4.25 stars, and that's what I'm going to give it. I've gone as high as 4.25.
I'll give it a 4.
All right, cool.
And it would have been a 4.5 or 4.7. It would have, really. If it wasn't for the unbelievably ridiculousness of the beginning, and which had nothing to do with the match. Again, the match should be derailed by something that had nothing to do with the match. And then at the end...
Why don't we describe what happened?
Yeah, please. Describe it for the listeners.
So it goes black, and then it comes back.
Kind of like the Undertaker was going to come out.
Yeah, and Joey Ryan, who was thought dead, is in bed. And then does he open his eyes? I think he opens his eyes, doesn't he?
I think so. Yeah.
Or something happens. Or there's some like rumbling or something. Oh no! I know what happens. And forgive my language. His penis starts to get bigger.
Yeah.
Through his shorts, and then all these people come out dressed as penises.
So they're like the druids for testicles.
And then in comes Joey Ryan, and then it got really ridiculous in the ring when he... Did he grab his hand and put it on his penis? I can't believe we're reviewing a wrestling event and this is what we're talking about.
Yes, he grabbed what is it, Page there? Hangman Page?
Page grabbed Ryan, didn't he?
No.
Joey Ryan.
Yeah. No. Joey Ryan grabbed his hand and put it on his...
Oh, that's what I meant. Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry, but yeah, he had hold of Ryan's junk.
Yeah. And I've never seen a flip. Like, he flipped him over. It was like a sunset flip. With the use of his junk.
That must be his gimmick or something.
It is, but it's so...
Do you know what? Didn't you think he looked like Rick Rude?
I was just going to say that. First of all, let me say this. Look, I got nothing against... I have one. It's cool. Penises are a function of, you know...
Penises are people too.
Males need it. It's a tool that needs to be, you know, used in, for various things. But in a wrestling match... That is not found on Pornhub or one of those kind of sites. I should not be seeing it. Like, this guy looks like a cross between Rick Rude and Val Venus. It's like a combination of the two here. And it's ridiculous. It's like, honest to God, look, I hope to God that AEW finds something else to do with this story, with these two. What's that?
Are they signed up for the next one?
Well, Hangman is.
Hangman Page was a good character, sir, and a good wrestler, so I'm all right with that. I just don't want him fighting a guy.
Yeah, I don't want to. No. They got to get rid of the penis angle. I saw it once. I found it unbelievable that I was watching what I was watching. And listen, I don't need to see penis druids. Look, if I wanted to watch another man grab another man's junk, like I said, there are websites for that. It's cool, but
it made you laugh.
I was laughing, but this is terrible. Not necessarily that this is funny. It's terrible. This is up there with Triple H having sex with a dead.
Yeah. It's really... Mae Young giving birth to a hand.
Yeah. Oh God.
So after that we had Jay Lethal backstage as Jay Lethal, and then somebody touched his shoulder and handed him the Macho Man shades, and he turned all Macho Man, which was his character in Impact Wrestling with Black Machismo.
Yes.
And he was defending the Ring of Honor World Championship against Flip Gordon.
Yes.
And Flip Gordon came out of Brandy Rhodes, and Jay Lethal came out with Lanny Poffo, which is Macho Man's brother. So I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love when the music hit. It was the Macho Man's music. And
oh, man.
He does it so good, doesn't he? The caricature of...
But he does everything. Like, he does everything. The motions, the voice. You can do the voice.
And I knew he'd done this back in Impact Wrestling, and I thought they obviously brought it back for this, didn't they? As like a special,
yeah,
a special thing. And there were little bits in the match that were kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Homages to the past, like
yes,
Flip Gordon hulked up at one point, didn't he? And
yeah, because Jay Lethal was doing the whole. So Brandi Rose was there in a military outfit, which.
Oh.
In and of itself is a fan. That sounds a little weird in the context. I know, but in the context, I just because I was just talking about Brandi Rose. Anyway,
I'll just go on radio silence.
Podcast is going to end up on more than half the way it's going. So Brandi Rhodes is essentially takes on the Elizabeth role, where you see Jay Lethal a couple of times goes out of the ring and tells her to stand on his side of the ring.
Then his shoulders at one point as well.
Yeah, he puts her over the shoulder like when Macho and Liz got married. So there was a lot of that callback, and it reminded me of when the Mega Powers imploded and they fought and they had a lot of the same spots, you know, with Brandi were kind of recreated, and I love that touch. And there's a point where you hear Brandi in the ring, "I'm not Liz," and she slaps him in the face, and he goes back to normal until Macho Man's brother again taps him on the shoulder and becomes Macho Man again.
I just realized that it was Lanny Poffo that touched him on the shoulder in the first place. It was.
And it was cool because when they did the bit where Flip Gordon started hulking out, the commentator says, "Oh, this reminds me of something Ultimate." And before he could correct him, I swear I was yelling at my TV saying, "You're an idiot! That's not the word. How could you not understand that? What's wrong with you?" and then he corrected himself, and I said, "See," but you know, like the spots that you know, there were three elbow drops off the top rope, three, and honest to God, it's as if I was like I put in a VHS tape of Macho Man from 30 some years ago. That's how good it was.
Yeah, definitely.
I love this match. I think it was the it was the right amount of homage, but also showing that these guys were mega talented. I loved it, and I want to see. I don't know if I know we'll see more of Flip Gordon, but this is why I want the cross promotion to continue, because I want to see more of Jay Lethal.
Did you notice how big the Ring of Honor belt was as well?
Yeah, and that's another.
It's bigger than WCW, big gold belt.
Yeah.
Massive.
Yeah, and yeah, it had that feel of the WCW championship. Mm. It did. But again, even this title has more prestige than the two main WWE titles. And it's
yeah, definitely. So what did you rate the match?
Well, I gotta go pretty high with this one too. It was another 4.
Alright, okay. I only went to 3.5, which is what Meltzer gave it.
Okay.
But that's a good rating, I think. I'm not saying that in a negative way when I give it. I just think there were other matches that were higher caliber, but this one had a different kind of feel to it.
It was the combo I think it was partly nostalgia too.
Which there's nothing wrong with that. I think people are sometimes like crap on nostalgia a bit, but there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, when done in the right
instance. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after that, we got that Bully Ray came out, which I had no idea he was even in Ring of Honor now. I thought he was back with WWE, so that was a shocked.
Because there he is, Bubba Ray, right? In WWE.
Yeah. Which he became a singles wrestler in his own right, didn't he, in Impact Wrestling.
I like when somebody in the crowd yelled, where's Devon?
But that was such a cool moment where then Colt Cabana came out and they all powerbombed him through the table. I thought it was a really well done spot. It was a nice follow-up to the match and stuff, so I was...
It was.
I was impressed with that. So the next match was my second most anticipated match of the night. And it was the Kenny Omega versus Penta El Zero.
Yes.
And that Penta has a hell of a look, doesn't he? It looks like something out of a horror movie.
It kind of looks like a cross between Rey Mysterio and Goldust. I don't know if you...
Yeah, a little bit. I think he had kind of like a skull mouth type thing, you know. Like...
Okay, so let me revise. Yeah. It's Rey Mysterio meets Skeletor meets Goldust.
Yeah, probably good. That's probably right. If you bash those three together, you get this guy.
Yeah.
And I was excited because I've never watched a Kenny Omega match, and everyone raves about him. And after watching this, I can totally see why.
Oh man.
Because he's so good.
He's incredible. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to toot my own horn here, being Canadian, but what is it about Canadian wrestlers that make them so good?
I could name me about 10 off a list right now if I just stood a few seconds. They seem to understand the psychology better than anyone else, I think.
I mean, you got Jericho, you got Bret Hart, you got
Owen. Bret Hart's the greatest of them all, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I agreed. You got Owen.
Well, you could even put guys out there, even though they weren't Canadian, the Dynamite Kid, and learn his craft in, you know, wrestling in with the Stu Hart. And
yeah,
maybe we owe a lot to Stu Hart and his legacy that he left in the wrestling business. And like Lance Storm, what a wrestler he was and stuff as well. And there's just so many great Canadian wrestlers.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Really is.
Like I said, I had no conception of these two, or no like pre. I've heard the good things about Kenny Omega.
Had you seen a match before this with him?
I watched a little bit of one of his matches in Japan on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm a bit gutted he didn't bring the belt out with him actually, because he was the champion at this point, wasn't he? The IWGP champion.
Because I think he was in the process of. This was just before, you know, AEW made the announcement, so I think he knew that he was leaving.
Yeah, yeah. He probably didn't want to, like, disgrace the belt in any way and stuff, did he?
Right, exactly.
Not that it would have done, but maybe he thought it would be a bit of a...
Yeah, I think it was
like,
more
not a proper thing to do, yeah.
It was more of a respectful...
Yeah.
...thing to do.
Well, I actually didn't know that... I didn't know the belt wasn't on the line until it came out without it, basically. That was the point when I realised it wasn't a title match, so...
Yeah, yeah.
It was just a phenomenal match, wasn't it? It just had
everything. It had everything. It had, you know, the mat work, the technical end of things, the high flying from both.
Oh
of them.
Oh my god, that variation pile driver on the ring apron as well. That was
that was another moment where I'm like, he's not going to do that, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, not on the ring apron. That's like danger 101. I mean,
and again. The false finishes.
Oh,
they must have got to like the millisecond before three. Sometimes it was that good, and I was so shocked the match didn't end like at so many points. I thought, oh, that's it, and they're like, oh my god, it's kicked out. It was like a masterclass in wrestling.
It was. It was like if you want to see. What a top tier wrestling match looks like. Watch this match.
Yeah. Definitely.
It'll change your perspective.
Do we want to rate it before we go on to the moment afterwards?
Well, the moment afterwards didn't affect the match for me, so I think we can continue on with the moment and then rate
because
it.
Do you want me to, shall I just tell you what happened and then we'll talk about it maybe?
Yeah. Tell everybody what happened.
So again, the lights go out. This time there is no Joe Ryan's penis. But Penta El Zero looks a lot different all of a sudden, which straight away I thought he looks different. That's a bit weird. And then he takes off his mask and it was Chris Jericho. And I actually clicked it was Chris Jericho before, but I didn't straight away. But I don't know if you did. Did you click straight away it was him or... Did you already know about it or anything?
Well, because I knew he signed in AEW, I already knew that he showed up. I just didn't know where.
See, I didn't think he was on this show because he signed up after, didn't he? So I just assumed he'd signed up after.
Right, he signed up after, but I knew like they I knew that they had a background that they Vince had let Jericho go to Japan, you know, and they had worked together in Japan. So I knew that there was already a built-in rivalry with them. So they already
wrestled over there.
They've wrestled over there, yeah.
All right, okay, cool.
So I knew there was a built-in rivalry, but I knew he showed up on the show. I just didn't know how and where. So it was somewhat of a surprise.
Would you agree that it was a brilliant moment?
The execution was definitely.
I just thought, did you ever see when Diamond Dallas Page was La Parka in WCW and they beat the Macho Man?
Yes, it did call to mind that indeed. Yeah,
it was like, I'm not saying they copied it, but it was like, it was a similar kind of moment where you were shocked it was Diamond Dallas Page, and here I was shocked it was Chris Jericho. I was like, oh my god! And I'm so glad I didn't know what happened going in, because if I'd known, I think it would have kind of killed that moment for me. But because I didn't know, I literally just thought the match was going to end and they were going to walk off, and then the lights went out and there's
Did you have a feeling it was Jericho or no?
Like, not until the camera got closer, then I realized it was him, and okay. I went, "Oh my god, it's Chris Jericho!" And he took his mask off, and it were him. And I thought, that is one of the best. Like, if AEW makes it big, I think they'll always look back to moment, they'll look back to that moment a lot, I think, and win like the best ofs and stuff, because it was just such a phenomenal like moment. It was literally like something you would have got back in there. Like when wrestling was at its hottest and stuff, just something that shocks you to. And I was just really shocked, and I absolutely loved it. And I actually thought if this had been the main event and that had been the end of the show, what an end to the show that would have been.
Oh, I think
you could have almost imagined Tony Schiavone were out of time, couldn't you? You know, on Nitro when he used to do it at the end and stuff, it reminded me of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I can't wait for their match on Double or Nothing.
Yeah, it's going to be a great return match, for sure. I love this, yeah.
So, do you want some? Should we move on?
Yeah, well, you got to rate it. We got to rate it.
Oh, sorry. We haven't rated it, have we? So I will tell you, it was given by Meltzer. His things are in a really weird order for some reason. He gave it 4.5 stars.
All right.
Which is exactly what I've given it.
Oh, I'm going to go full bore and give it a 5.
Best match on the card for you?
Easily, without question. Right.
Because I think it was level with the Cody match, just because. But I thought they were both great in their own respective rights, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But this one, maybe as a contest, as an actual match, was probably a bit more.
You know what it was? It didn't have it for me. It didn't have the built-in like storyline that the Cody and all this one did, and yet they were still able to have me just as riveted as a championship match with that much prestige and a vignette of storyline behind it. So that's why I give it the extra little boost.
We talked about Kenny Omega, but that Penta El Zero, what a wrestler he is as well.
Yeah.
Hell of a worker.
He's incredible.
Yeah. And again, great. I think he's got a great look. Like, his whole styles is brilliant. So beyond that, we had a bit of a backstage moment with Marty Scurll with the finger waving thing, which were a bit weird. Where it must be like, I don't want it to just set up that's what he does, because he did it in the match, but he was doing the whole, it was like going, ha ha, I want him bending the fingers and stuff.
Yeah.
And then he had a match with the Rainmaker, which I'm going to butcher his first name. I can't even do it. Is it Kazuchika or something?
I think so. And
his surname's Okada anyway, so I can say that. Who didn't look like his picture, I thought, which was really weird.
Yeah, it was kind of strange, yeah.
And he was a lot taller than I thought he was going to be as well.
Yeah, he's a massive man for
very big. I thought the crowd were a bit flat for the first couple of minutes of this, and I don't know if it was because the moment before was so big and they were
the last match took a little bit of steam out of them.
That kind of thing. And then, but then I think once it got going, I think the crowd really got into it. And something I was really impressed with, that we had a ref bump in this match. This was the only match where we had a ref bump.
And
it's like, on WWE, you literally could have put every single match almost as a ref bump.
They've overdone it at times.
Yeah. And my only other, it's not really a complaint, just more of, you know, like Okada's finish is that the Rainmaker. I actually thought Marty Scurll hit it better than he did when he did it. And I don't know if it was just maybe that his timing was a bit better on the moment, but
I agree with you.
A better version of it, yeah.
And I love the fact that they do their own, you know, the other wrestlers doing each other's finishing move.
Yeah.
The match, that was cool.
And again, false finishes. There were just so many of them. And you just thought, oh, match is over. Oh, no, it's not. Match is over. Oh, no, it's not. You know, and it was just crazy.
Yeah, I predicted. I'm like, okay, now it's done.
And then it won.
And it was never done. But again, you're okay with it because when the match is that good, you want it to go longer.
Yeah, definitely. And like I say, again, much like one of the earlier matches, the opening match, the match started off a bit flat, but as it got on, it got better.
Agreed.
Yeah.
It wasn't as good as the Kenny Omega match, but it was a solid match.
Yeah, definitely. So what did you rate this one? Jumping to Meltzer first, though. He gave it 4.25 stars, but I've gone quite a bit lower than that. I gave it 3.
I'll give it a 3.5.
It were a 3 for me, but I think maybe just because I was coming off the Kenny Omega match.
Yeah.
I was almost maybe a bit like, well, it wasn't as good as that, but it was still a good match.
Oh, it's still really good. But
But
I agree with you. I think it started slow. And that's what gives it a little bit of a, like, after that match, you got to come, you know, guns a-blazing, right?
After the Kenny match.
So that's what dragged it down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But again, two great wrestlers.
Oh,
both were really good. So.
No doubt.
I think we've probably said that nearly every match on this, that everyone's been a good wrestler, aren't they?
Yeah.
So then the main event was the Golden Elite, the Young Bucks, and Kota Ibushi versus... Hang on a minute. Bandido and Rey Fénix. I don't think that's right, is it? I think I've done a little bit of a typo. Bandido,
yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and then Rey Mysterio. The Young Bucks, first time I've seen him, I thought they were fantastic.
Yeah. They're a great team, for sure.
They remind me of the Rockers.
I can see that.
Do you know what I mean? I think that's probably an easy comparison to make because they've kind of got like long dark hair and
pastel
pants and that. But
that's an easy comparison.
That is 100% a compliment. I thought they were fantastic workers.
Well, the Rockers were a phenomenal tag team.
Yeah,
back in the day.
It was just one of those really fast paced. It was like 10 minutes, and it was.
Yeah, because when I was watching, I'm like, man, we must be near the end here. And I'm like, are they going to be able to finish this match? What's going to happen here? But it was really, really fast-paced and high tempo. And a lot of high-risk, high-end. You know, anytime you get the Mexican wrestlers in there, that's what you get, right?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
But there was a lot of that. I was shocked at Rey Mysterio being there because...
With his Wolverine gear.
Oh, the Wolverine, again, he gets high marks for making it a comic character. And going with one of the top two Canadian comic book characters in superhero-dom, Wolverine. I mean, Wolverine and Deadpool are both Canadian, but thank you.
Yeah.
So take that, everybody else. But coming out in that outfit, get some extra points. But just the fact that he was under, I'm pretty sure he's, we know he is. He's under contract with WWE, right? So.
Yeah, but didn't you say this wasn't actually an AEW event? It was like a precursor to.
Right, I get that. But Vince is not one to let his people, Jericho has that.
He doesn't have like a contract with WWE and one of the Mexican wrestling companies, is it? Because maybe
what I think happened was maybe he's got the same type of contract that Jericho does, where if he asks for it and Vince gives the okay, he can go.
Well, I assume Jericho doesn't have a WWE contract now.
Well, now, but when, I, when he did, you know, Vince allowed him to go to Japan. So maybe Vince didn't think, you know, Cody and them were going to actually get
in. Yeah, maybe. Like a one-off.
Yeah. So, and for Rey Mysterio, it probably is until his WWE contract is done. Then I could totally see him jumping over.
Bloody wasted him anyway at WrestleMania, didn't they? So.
Oh, what a terrible way. But no, this was so good. And
that Kota Ibushi was in with the young, but he was so good as well.
Yeah.
Well, they were all good, weren't they, really? But, I mean,
The only thing I kind of wish was I like my tag team matches when it's two against two.
I know what you mean, yeah. I thought this worked for this match, though, like, the way it was.
It did, but I think sometimes six-man tags can be overbloated. You know what I mean?
100%, yeah. You've got to do it right, otherwise it'll be... I mean, I prefer a singles match to a tag match any day of the week, but sometimes tag matches as well, you're kind of almost waiting for that hot tag moment, aren't you? And, although you didn't get it in this, did you? Because they were just running about like nutters. But there were just so many good... there were loads of high spots, like jumping over the top rope, and then you had like... people hitting moves, and then when they were getting up from that move, they were getting hit by a move, and then you had doing a move on someone, and while they were doing a move on someone, someone did a move on them both. And
there were so many moves, you could keep track. And
I almost feel like this would have been the perfect match to start with.
Yeah.
The crowd up. And
I think the only negative for me is that, first of all, because of the time crunch, it was too short. It was too short. And
which, if they'd have cut out that penis stuff, they could have had it.
And I would have... I've never spoken about penises so much in my life. But I think it was wrongly... Look, I get why they placed it as the main event. They want to prove that tag matches can be main events. And I totally understand that from that point, right? Because they can. But I think in this scenario, it was poorly placed.
I just wonder, was it done to send the crowd home with a bit of adrenaline, like that, so they'd leave the, like, oh my god, what an end, you know, like exciting pay per view. And
yeah, but you could have done that with Kenny Omega.
Yeah, true. Which I actually said before about the NWA Championship, I probably would have put the NWA Championship like third before the main event, then had a match in between, you know, so the crowd can go get a few drinks and stuff, and then I would have done Kenny Omega.
I would have put that penis gimmick there, so everybody could come and go take a drink.
See, I think Marty Scurll versus Okada was probably a good match to have between two main event matches, because it's almost like the crowd can catch the breath a bit, you know, and get there. And it was, again, a decent match, but it went to the level of, like, you know, the two main matches on it that we talked about. And I almost wonder if, like, ending it on that Jericho moment would have almost given the same effect.
Oh, that would have been a good send-off, yeah. Could
you imagine it ending like that? And yeah. People would have been talking about... I mean, they were talking about it anyway, weren't they? Because it was the most talked-about thing that it was on one. It was incredible. It was Twitter, like, big time and stuff. But
definitely. No. It was talked about, but I think...
Yeah.
Ending the show, like, fading to black with that, it's like the old WCW days when they used to, like... When he used to fade with all that mayhem, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, and Tony Schiavone was always like, we're out of time. And then he'd be like, we'll see you Thursday or we'll see you next Monday.
And then it's like, damn it, come on. I want to see more. But no, so I think the placement was a little bit, but
which I think that some of the card could have been moved around a bit, but, you know, it's easy
understanding what they wanted to do in the fact that showcase that tag team matches can be main events, which WWE seems to never do. And I think AEW is going to try and do that, you know, more often, is make tag team matches.
You can have a tag team main event, you know, it can work if you've got, and you can have your big stars in it still. It's just, you want your main, when you've got a match on where you've got a world championship in such a high profile match, and then a world champion coming, you know, back home in a sense to be in a high profile match. It's not those two are both kind of matches you would have had at the end.
But from the perspective of why they did it, I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
So
what did you rate this match out of? Oh, I'll tell you what, I'll give Meltzer's first, actually.
Yeah, give me.
So Meltzer gave it 4.5 stars. I did not go that high. I only gave it 3.5, but I still thought it was really good. It probably would have got more if it had been about 5 minutes longer.
Yeah. Okay. So because it was rushed, I felt
most of all, it meant about 7 or 8 minutes long or something. It wasn't.
Yeah. And when you factor in the entrances. Yeah. So I'm gonna say because it was rushed, and because I think it got too hectic and out of control at times, where you couldn't recognize when a tag was happening or not. I'll take a couple of points off. So it's a 3.5 for me as well. But overall, to wrap up, you know, the announcement of AEW really sort of kickstarted my love of wrestling again. And seeing this all-in pay-per-view really has me, like, I'm stoked beyond words to not only see Double or Nothing, but to see the AEW weekly TV show. And I'm glad that we now have we know where it's gonna, where that it has a network, and we're gonna see a weekly show. I thought every match, you know, even though we rated some lower than others, was either solid to great. I think that's the rating barometer I use overall. And you know, that's something that I can't say about some of the WWE stuff I've watched in recent years. So. If AEW can keep this level of quality up, then I think wrestling is in for a real treat, and I think it's a great time to be a wrestling fan, like you alluded to earlier. But what are your thoughts on overall?
Yeah, when we reviewed WrestleMania, I did not really enjoy WrestleMania that much. It was, I'm trying to think of the word. I don't want to say it was boring. I almost feel like WWE's gone a bit like McDonald's, where it's kind of like, it's all right, you eat it, you think it's okay, it does job for an hour or whatever. And then this reminded me of an old school NWA, which I mentioned a lot, NWA show, where you'd have, like, you know you're going to be in for some really good wrestling, even if you're not necessarily into the storylines as much. And again, with this, most of the storylines, apart from a particular one that we talked about.
Well, you might as well say it, because we said it a thousand times. The penis.
The penis one. but most of the storylines were good. And in fact, the penis one was funny, so I'll give it that. But, and even with something as ridiculous as a penis storyline, that match was phenomenal. And I've just never experienced that. Normally, back in WWF days, when you'd have the Attitude Era and you'd have your match with, like, the Oddities or whatever, the storyline would be rubbish and the match would be rubbish, but that was, like, a really good match. And for me, the two standout matches were the NWA Championship and the Omega match. I'd say the moment of the show was Chris Jericho turning up, and it's actually got me excited, because I don't enjoy WWE now. I don't think the characters are very good. I don't think the stories are very good. The matches don't really do much for me. Where this, I felt like I was watching, like, almost like watching my wrestling again.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to see where it goes. And I just hope that with a weekly TV series, they can keep the level up and keep going and do it. And I'm really looking forward to Double or Nothing. It is Double or Nothing, isn't it? I ain't called it wrong thing.
Yeah,
so for me, this show was a complete thumbs up. There wasn't one bad match. There was some solid matches and some great matches, and I think to get that on one show is unbelievable. And I don't think I've seen a show have that many good matches since WrestleMania 17.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is probably the best WrestleMania of all time, you know, on paper, in terms of, like, level of matches and stuff. So there wasn't a dud on it, and there wasn't a dud on this. So this is up there with that kind of show for me. And yeah, I can't wait to tune in for more.
Awesome. So that brings it to a close. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we did recording it. And we hope that if you guys watched All In, back probably when it aired, unlike us, who came late to the party. But we hope you enjoyed it as well. And if you can't tell already, we are all in for AEW.
100%.
Steven is going to take some little vacation time for a couple of weeks. So my next recording that you'll hear is going to be with a special guest, and we are covering Money in the Bank, where hopefully Alexa Bliss will win the ladder match, and then go on to cash in the contract and become the champion again. But I will have a special guest reviewing Money in the Bank. But until that time, I want you to know your role, shut your mouth, listen to this podcast, and tell your friends about it. Until next time.
Hulkamania forever.
So long, everybody.